Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
How are we doing today, church? We good? Welcome today. It is so great to have so many of you here in church with us on what I'm going to call the first Sunday into the new year. I know last week, on Sunday was New Year's Day, but first Sunday into the new year, and what a new is anybody? I don't want to ask this question because I know that it can reveal a few things in the way we're forward thinking. But for some of us, we are really excited about what 2023 has to hold. For others of us, we are quite nervous about what 2023 actually has to hold, and that's a reality about life, about the unknown of what is coming before us. And I want to talk a little bit about the new year and new things in the new year today. But first of all, I just want to honor the Pilliphant family. And Cheryl's here with us today. We had John's funeral this week, his memorial service on Wednesday. And I just want to honor the Pilliphant family for what a wonderful display of having a foundation of the knowledge that God is indeed sovereign, that he is in control, and that John is now at home with the Lord in his presence. And the family just held such a wonderful service and honored a man who ran a good race. He really did. And followed God faithfully for his entire life. And John and Cheryl have been some of the longest serving members of this church. In fact, I think you were one of the first few that got married here in church. Is that right? Ken and Sue Morrison. Where are you, Ken and Sue? Oh, they're right next to you. I'm looking at you and they're sitting right next to you. We're the first couple that were married in Life Ministry Center, and John and Cheryl were the second. And so they have been around for a long, long time, and we are blessed to have you, Cheryl, continue to be part of the ministry here of this place. Can we just thank and honor the Pilliphant family? Well done, guys. Awesome. Beautiful. As we open the word today, let's stop and let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to come together as your people this day. The opportunity we have to so freely open your word, to study what it says. And Father, I pray that as we do that today, that Lord God, it would have the effect, that we would allow it to have the effect that it needs to have in our lives to make the change that we need to make. Father, most of all, we pray that as that change occurs, that you would be glorified, Jesus. Father, have your way on us this day, we pray, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, Steph kicked us off so brilliantly last week with a message, and I'm going to get back to that, but I'm going to encourage you to listen to it. And if you weren't here last week or you didn't hear her message, it's kind of good for you because I feel like these two messages have been done in reverse order. I'm going to present something to you, and her message is a brilliant response to what I'm going to share today, but I'll touch on that a bit later. And with this first Sunday into the new year, there's no doubt that many of us are naturally thinking about change. We're thinking about the different things that are part of our lives and the things that maybe we need to change in 2023. There's a natural process that we go through when it comes to the ticking over the year. But I want to acknowledge before we start that when that change happens, often we think about it with regard to the flicking over the new year, but it doesn't need to be, we don't need to wait until that time. And for you, if you're challenged about change at all through this year, you need to actually take note of that and put it into practice straight away. Often there is a major life event changes and it causes change in us. But God is at work in us on a daily basis, leading us towards change on a daily basis. We don't wait for the new year, but as the Holy Spirit leads, then we put that change into practice. For some of you, the change that God is challenging you on is to pull out a chainsaw, to do the old Steve Smith, for any cricket fans who saw that this week, to pull out the chainsaw, and there are going to be some things in your life that you need to get brutally aggressive with in cutting off your life with that chainsaw. For others of you, it'll be more like the sandpaper needs to come off. Come out and sand a little bit off and refine some of the edges in your life. And I want to ask you the question as we start today, what is it that God is leading you to change right now? What is it that God is leading you to change in your own life right now? And if the answer to that for you today is, well, I think it's nothing, then I'll encourage you to ask him the question, God, what do you want me to change? And await the response. Because I can guarantee you there is never nothing. It is never nothing. God is always at work in our lives and wants to produce a change to draw closer and nearer to him. And so with that natural process that we're going through at the start of this new year, I felt today to speak about new things that are found in Christ, because God is a God indeed of new things. God is a God of new things. I don't know if you've received or you've purchased an item with a screen over the last 10 years or so. If you have, you would probably have experienced this. When you have that screen, what comes on the screen? There's that bit of a plastic film that comes on the screen. And you get to have this experience when you get one of these things where you unbox it, and the marketing team of these things, they know that there's an unboxing. They know how it works on our psyche when there's this new unboxing. And then we get to that moment, and you peel the plastic off the screen. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Do you know the feeling that comes when you peel that thing off? And it's new. It's like it's never been touched, and it's brand new. And there's this feeling that is associated with that new. But the experience that we have with the new in God, although that is good, is comparison to any experience of any possession that is new that we may have. It is of far greater worth than that. And we're going to start with two passages of Scripture today. The first is a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, which is pointing forward to the birth of Jesus. And we're going to read from Isaiah 43, and we're going to read from verse 19. And it's on the screen if you need it. It says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." See, there was this building of anticipation from God to the people of God. And what do you think that it did for them when they heard this? It provided hope. And that is the same thing that I want you to know when it comes to 2023. No matter where you sit on, I am so keen for 2023. For those who have got engaged in 2022 and are getting married in 2023, you are so keen for 2023. Am I right? Anyone? Just so, yes. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Excited for 2023 because of what it holds. But for others of you, there has been that difficulty that is leading into 2023. And potentially, you think that this year that's coming up is probably going to be the hardest year that you've had in your life. Well, God is a God of new things. And the fact that God is a God of new things means that there is always hope. There is always hope for the future. And so for whatever 2023 has to hold for you, there is hope for you. And that promise of a pathway through the wilderness that we've heard and the rivers in the wasteland has been fulfilled and can be experienced now through Jesus Christ. There is hope. The next scripture is one that comes in the book of Revelation, and this is for what is to come. And if you've got it, why don't you turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, and we read John's revelation for what is to come. This is after the white throne judgment occurs. This is after Satan has been thrown into the lake of fire. And just on Revelation, if you're reading that book, I want you to make sure that this is not a book about fear. This is a book about hope. And I want you to remember, I heard it said this way, that this, when you read Revelation, it's not a horror story, it's a love story for the people of God. It is a love story for the people that know God, the people that are saved. So Revelation 21, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 7. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." Verse 3, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making everything new.' And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. What a hope we have in the future for what Jesus has done. The ESV says it this way. It says, behold, I am making all things new. God is indeed a God of new things. Part of this message today comes from a message that was spoken by our founding pastor, Pastor Hal Oxley. And he actually preached this message on today's date, the 8th of January, back in 1984, the year that I was born. My mum was 7 months pregnant when he spoke this message from this platform. And you can listen to a number of his messages on the website under The Vault, under Sermons, and it's called The Vault. And we continue to add all of his messages that he spoke over the years. What a blessing it is to have that heritage. And the truth of the word is of God is as applicable as it was to them that heard it then, as it is to us that hear it right now today. Our Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And at the beginning of his message, there was an analogy he gave, and I'm going to use exactly the same analogy. And not because it's directly applicable to us today, but the principle is. And he used this, he told this story about a dishwasher. And him and Jill had just purchased a house, and in the house there was already a dishwasher installed. And he said, this is the first dishwasher that we've ever had, and we actually don't use the dishwasher. We have the dishwasher, but we've maybe tried it once, but then he said, I've been unwilling to invest the time I need to learn how to use the dishwasher, so we just don't use it. Does anybody relate to anything in your life where that might be the case? And so he said that the dishwasher ended up just staying there collecting dust. He also said this other interesting thing about the time. He said, even though the dishwasher is more efficient, you throw them in there and you just press the button. He said, what it does is it takes away from the 10 minutes of fellowship each night that Jill and I get to have around the sink. And it's a little bit funny when you think of it that way and compare it to a dishwasher. And yet he was getting completely honest about this, that this time that we have, that we get to spend together, is actually really important to our lives. And just on that, I think we all need to be very careful that by the different things that we obtain in life to cause there to be efficiency in life, that we don't miss the moments, the simple moments that we get to have with people, to have a conversation, because we are so keen on getting things done as fastly and efficiently as possible. And so the dishwasher was there. It was new, but it just gained dust. And so he said it was ready to use, it was perfect, in perfect order, but it had no benefit to their lives because the decision had not been made to learn how to experience it. And the same can be said about the new things that we can experience in our lives as followers of Jesus. See, put it up on the screen, Josh, this next part. Something new requires the development of a new habit pattern. Something new requires the development of a new habit pattern. And for some of you here, the Christian life is all new. And it seems there are dishwashers and there are gadgets and there are all these different things that we're experiencing all for the first time, and we don't know how to use them all. And you have the opportunity to take each one as the Holy Spirit gives you revelation and as you are taught, and put them into practice in your life. And I would encourage you, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed by all of the different things you're going to be learning through this new phase. Take each one as it comes and apply it to your lives. But for more of you here, like me, you've been around for a while, and the dishwasher is no longer new to you. But for one reason or another, it may have gone back to gathering dust in your life. Maybe it's time for you to institute a new habit pattern to make sure you're experiencing all that the new in Christ has to offer to you, just as he intended it, to glorify him. And so we're going to make our way today through some of the new things in the Bible. And this list is not exhaustive, but we want to take each one of these things and see the application for them in our lives. And I trust it'll be helpful to you as the Holy Spirit brings each one of these to your attention. So the first one we're going to see in the Bible is that we have a new heart. Everyone say new heart. New heart. I was going to ask you to put your hand on your heart. Just feel it beating right now. New heart. Now, though we can feel our heart beating, there is a real life heart in each one of us. When the Bible talks about, you can take your hand off unless you want to keep it there, that's fine. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's important to understand when it comes to the heart, it talks about our entire being. It talks about the inner core of who we are. We're going to read it in Ezekiel 36, 26, and then from Ezekiel 11 as well. Starting in chapter 36 and verse 26, it says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. You have been, if you are in Christ, given a new heart." Like I said, when the Bible talks about it, it's talking about the innermost part of your being, the essence of who you are. The heart being the core from which everything else comes from. And a couple of years ago, we did a series. Our theme for the year was the heart of God. And it was looking at the core of who God is and the outworking of that in his characteristics and what it means for us. Some verses call it your inner man. So what does it mean for us that we get a new heart? Well, it's important to understand that for God to institute something new in our lives, it means there must have been a fault or must have been a problem, or there's something that is not the best for us in what has gone before. It had to be replaced. And for us to have a new heart, it must mean the old one has problems. And this verse indicates to us the problem. The old heart is stony and stubborn. And the problem with a hard heart is that it is unresponsive to impact. Pastor Chris, who knows what Pastor Chris is passionate about in his life? Someone yell out to me. God, coffee, two very good answers. What else? Come on, give me one. Caravans, another good answer, Nick. What else? Paint. Collingwood, yeah, another good answer. Yes, he's passionate about lots of things. And might I say, a big hello and welcome to everyone who's watching online. I forgot to do that, but we so value that you have tuned in with us today. And Pastor Chris, if you're listening, the people know you. And they know that probably you are painting maybe right now while you're on holidays. He's been doing a lot of painting recently. But if you ever need to talk about painting with anyone, Pastor Chris is the man. He is passionate. He has a lot of knowledge about paint. And we were talking about things downstairs, and there was bits of timber that we were talking about. And he spoke about this thing called a varnish. Has anyone had experience with varnish before in their lives? Varnish is something that you put on top of a piece of timber, and that varnish sits on top and provides a hard coating, a layer on top of that. It's a clear coat. And the purpose of a varnish is that when it goes dry, it hardens. It's a hard layer on top of the wood. And why? To prevent damage. And if you drop something, I mean, if you got children in the home, varnish everything. Varnish it all. Because if you drop something on this hard varnish, or you dig your fingernail into it, or someone puts a pen in it, or somewhere they get a knife and start scraping, the varnish is what protects it from being ingrained into that piece of timber. The varnish prevents it from damage. And if we're honest, for some of us, we are at the risk, as we make our way through life, of applying varnish to our hearts, is because we have had that effect. There has been something has been dropped on us. Somebody has used something sharp and it has wounded us. And we, in a protective aspect, we start to put this varnish on our hearts. We end up varnishing them. It seems like the right thing to do in the moment, but in the process, we have become hardened to the prompting and the move of the Holy Spirit to lead us towards different things because of the hardening of our heart. Look at what it says in Ezekiel 11. It says, "I will give them singleness of heart," we'll come back to that, "and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart." And verse 20 is the answer to why. "So that they will obey my decrees and regulations." Verse 20 again, the purpose of the new heart that has been installed is so that we are able to be moved in obedience to God. Remember, when it comes to obedience to God, it is out of his love for us that he puts boundaries around us. And we talk about boundaries when we talk to our youth, when we talk about relationships. We talk about what the Word of God says about growing up in a Christian relationship, about being unequally yoked. And we talk about these boundaries that God puts around us when we're in those aspects. And we all experience the boundaries that God puts around us in instruction in his Word. And often we try and talk about it in this way and give them this picture, because sometimes it can feel like when these boundaries come that it's crushing, or that it's confining, or it's just preventing me from having fun or experiencing what the world has to offer. And yet what it is God putting these boundaries, and we give them this picture of like up on a mountain and sheep in a pen, and they are put in this pen as boundaries around them to prevent them from the danger that is outside of that. And that is the same thing that we're talking about here, is those boundaries that in obedience to the Word of God that God puts around us. Lean into them. Don't walk away from them. They are there for your benefit. Someone needs to hear that today. The boundaries that are in the Word of God are there for your benefit. And so it's the same instruction for us how to live. But the start of this verse, when it comes to our heart, says things a little differently. It says singleness of heart. He will give us singleness of heart. That's part of the new heart, a characteristic of singleness. Another version, another translation, translates this word into undivided. Single focus, undivided, fixed on Jesus. That is the heart that has been installed for us. And so the question for you today, the question I'm asking myself, is am I allowing myself to be moved by the Holy Spirit through the new heart that I have been given? Am I experiencing this new heart by allowing it to have undivided focus on Jesus? Quite simply, the question is, does my heart have one Lord? Does my heart have one Lord? And our application to that question as followers of Jesus leads us not just to the change that you might decide that you want to do in yourself, but it leads to the change that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you, that he might be glorified. It will lead to a full life. So number one, new heart. Number two is new creation. Everyone say new creation. The second thing is that you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians, come on, Pat. You know it. This is an exciting one, right? When you have revelation of it, it is exciting. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 17. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, I'm speaking to you, Pat, because you're right here and it's good. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Give me a pat, everyone. Yes. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. I love the way it says it, and you might know it this way in the New King James Version, or the King James. In verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is a new for anyone who is in Christ. New creature, it says. Old life gone, new life here. And that is an exciting truth to experience. And I know what you might be saying. I see what the Word of God says, and I see the way you're getting excited about it. But Andy, I woke up in the same bed today, and I've got the same job, and I've got the same boss, and dare I say it, I've got the same family, and that's you saying that, that's not me. I've got the same things going on in my life. It doesn't seem that the new is here. It seems that the old has indeed remained. And I know that we can feel that way sometimes. And feelings are real. They are. But the word of the Lord is true. And honestly, I want to say this as lovingly as possible as your pastor. Even if you feel that way, the word of the Lord is true. And all things have passed away. Behold, all things are indeed new. Despite your feelings, the new has come. Sometimes the old things are simply hanging on. They're hanging on. But you are a new creation. And there's power in the understanding behind this. And to put this into practice. And for some of you, this is going to be you waking up in the morning and looking in the mirror and not thinking, ugh. But saying, I am a new creation. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am a new creation. I remember the first time that we brought our firstborn home, Judah, down here. Judah, just come up here for a sec. Come here. This is Judah. He is now nearly taller than his mother. Come up here, Cass. And Judah is 10. He is nearly 11. Thanks, boy. But I remember when we first brought Judah home nearly 11 years ago. And some parents, you will relate to this. It was the first time that we had carried him anywhere or carried him out and put him in his car seat in the car. The first time. That was the first experience that we had. It was the first time that we had gotten home with him and gone, what do we do? What do we do? It was the first time that we'd learnt how to get him to sleep. We did it the wrong way. We did it in our arms all the time. Parenting fail right there. Don't put your kids to bed in your arms all the time. Put them in there. Put them in their pot. Put them in there. Even a pram. Like, come on. Put them down. That was the first time we'd experienced that. For Cass, it was amongst the first times that she was learning how to feed a child. There were so many first-time experiences for us at that time. It was a major new experience having a child. But you know what we didn't do? Is we didn't, when we couldn't figure something out, what do we do in this situation? We didn't put the child in the corner and let him gather dust and go, all right, well, we can't deal with that. As much as maybe there was a turn, you know. Just give us a minute. Just 1 minute, please. But we didn't do that. The preciousness of this gift from God to us meant that we had to work it out. We had to. Parents, hello? We had to work it out. Anyone working it out right now? Where's Heidi? I saw you. You're working it out. Yeah, you guys are working out. Where's working it out? The gift of this new life given by God requires the same of us. It requires the same of us that we work it out. We continue to invest into seeing this new life come to fruition in us because it is there. We are a new creation. So what does this life look like? This is the point where I want you to press play on the message that Steph spoke last week. It looks like a life filled by the Spirit of God, equipped to do all that He is calling us to do and instructing us of. She spoke just briefly, if you weren't here, about the war that happens between the 2022 self, or who we were at that point, and the 2023 self, who we are looking to become. And there is this war between the two. That the answer to that war is the fulfilling life change for us as believers is to walk by the Spirit. To walk by the Spirit. Number one, she gave us the points, stay close to the Spirit. Stay close. And number two, to stay focused on the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God for our new life in Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come. Life with the Holy Spirit has come. So let's practice it in our speech, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our reactions. Let's practice what it is to live with the Spirit working in us and living through us. There is joy in the practicing of this. But here's the thing. Unless we do something with the new, it will indeed lie dormant and be of no effect in your life. We must get in the habit pattern of using these things. So number one, what was number one? New. Number two, new creation. And number three is new mercies. New mercies. Lamentation, Nick, you prayed this. Lamentations 3, 22 to 24, and I'm reading this from the ESV. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." Underline that. "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." The mercies of the Lord are new, new every morning. The new heart and the new creation that we talked about, they happen to us, and then there's a working out for the rest of our life. There's a constancy through that working out. But the new mercies, fresh for you every single morning. Every single morning. Look at verse 22. It says, "His mercies never come to an end." It says, "They are constant, they are always there." In the Bible, what does it mean, God's mercy? It means his pity, his compassion, his kindness towards people. His mercy shows up in your life at the point of salvation. And then it continues. He continues to show mercy to you in forgiveness. And then we look at verse 23. It says, "They are new every morning." This is the same as we read in the Lord's Prayer, when it says, "Give us this day our daily bread, good for each day." It's good for today, it's needed for today, and it sustains you today. But it's not yesterday's bread, and it's not yesterday's mercy, but it's fresh for you each and every morning. It's not stored up for tomorrow so that it can be used just in case he doesn't have any more for you tomorrow. It is fresh for you today and every single day. I don't know if you have any days where you get home, perhaps, and you finally get into bed at the end of the day and go, "Oh, I just made it. I actually just made it through the day today, and I'm finally here." I know that sometimes the weariness comes for me as well. But I want you to go to bed in that moment knowing that when you wake up in the morning, his mercies are fresh and new for you in that next morning. And wake up giving thanks for his forgiveness, for his grace that will sustain you for the next day. Holy Spirit, we thank you that your mercies are new every single morning. And Father, I pray right now that that verse would bring peace to someone's life who is challenged about what yesterday held, that your mercies are new for them today. Father, let shame fade away in their life in Jesus' name. Thank you that there is new life in you. There is new life in you. Today is a new day in Jesus' name. Amen. And the last one I'm going to give you today is this. It is new strength. And Dave, your word this morning, thank you for your obedience, Joyce, with your tongue this morning, and Dave for that interpretation, right along with what I believe God was having us say as a church today, what he wants to say to us. And this fourth one, new strength. He gives us new strength. But before we dive into that, I want to acknowledge that these things might not be new for all of you today. You might know it, but there's a difference when we take the head knowledge and allow it to settle in our hearts, because that's where the work can begin. That's where an outworking in our life can actually occur. And this is where being led by the Spirit comes in. And I know a number of people in our church, and just in thinking about John this week at his memorial service, who have been a believer for 40, 50, 60 plus years, have known these things. And I see them, and there's some of them, and the revelation of the truth of God's word to them is as fresh today as it was when they first heard it. I don't know if you know anyone like that, that it's just a never-ending joy in them. You can say to them, like, Jesus loves you, and they are like, absolutely, there's revelation from that for me today. And so though these are truths that you may know before, though they were news back then, God has the ability, by the power of the Holy Spirit giving us revelation, to put the piece of plastic back on to give you that new experience again. That is a horrible analogy, I know. But do you understand what I'm saying? There is fresh revelation for you for the new that God is going to do in your life and has done for you today if you allow the Holy Spirit to bring that up and bring that to your attention. But we need to develop the habit patterns so that the new actually has effect in our lives. So new strength, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. Are you feeling weak? Are you feeling weary? Are you feeling ill-equipped today? Well, the good news is that there is new strength for you to be found in the Lord. It says that those who want to find that new strength, the key is that those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, find that new strength. And often I consider any weariness that I feel. And I do the best to allow the Holy Spirit to bring things to the surface in me when I'm feeling weary. Either number one, that I am worried about that I don't need to worry about, because sometimes worry leads to weariness, right? Worry can be something that just continually like pushes us down and pushes us down. And by the end of it, we are so weary from that worry. But what does the word say? We don't need to be anxious. Don't need to worry about what tomorrow holds. And the second thing not to worry is that I might be trying to do something in my own strength. And for some of you, that might be true today. That you are living in a weary land because you are trying to do something in your own strength. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to give you the power to do what He wants you to do in that situation. But in every one of those circumstances, the answer is this. And the Holy Spirit leads me to this. Acknowledge that you trust me. And I do that in that moment. I say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Bring to mind the things that I need to change or that I need to do in this situation. Give me peace of mind over these worries, because at the end of the day, I trust you. And that is where that new strength comes from, is that trust in His everlasting faithfulness. Tim, you can come. We're gonna close. I don't think we need to close in song. We'll just close and we'll pray. Tim is here. There he is. Thanks, Timmy. There are many other news. As I said, this is not an exhaustive list that I could have spoken about today, but I hope you understand the point. At the start of this new year, we have the opportunity to be reminded of the new things that are in Christ, the new things that we can experience. But it is about bringing in the new habit patterns to make sure the new is actually taking place in our lives. God is a God of the new. And because of that, we can have hope in the future. Our resolve is, like I said, to develop those habit patterns so that the new has an outworking in our lives. And so for you today, what do you need to start? When it comes to a new heart, what needs to change? Is there a prevention of the hardening that needs to happen in you? Does your heart have one Lord? Is there anything else that's in front of Him? Again, this time that we have, I'm sure constantly for you as well, there's like, all right, God, what is there that needs to change? What is there that you want to do in me this year? Let's start with the heart. Is there a point of focus that needs to come from what is it on now and be more towards God in your life? Number two, you are a new creation. This is the one that I think that is going to have the most impact on someone's life today, that you are a new creation. And perhaps for you, I'm talking this section here, I don't know why. Perhaps for you in 2023, this is going to be the first year that you have ever believed that you are actually a new creation in Christ. And that it's going to go from being something that you might have heard in church or in youth a couple of times to being something that drops into your heart, that becomes real for you. For you are a child of God's. That you are precious in His sight. That He has a purpose and a specific direction for your life. Because you are a new creation because of what Jesus has done. And as that goes from head knowledge into your heart, there is going to be an outworking of that, that even that you thought was not possible in your life. You are a new creation. And the habit pattern that is going to need to begin for you is that when you wake up, the first thing you say when you look in that mirror is that by the grace of God, I am a new creation. Maybe it's for you over here. By the grace of God, today, I am a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come and can be experienced by me right now, by the grace of God. Are we practicing what it is to live by the Spirit? You know, my beautiful daughter, Olive, who's somewhere. Where are you, Olive? Hey, girl. Olive and I were looking through this prayer booklet. It was like prayer for kids. And it was just some basic instructions and different things that you could give to kids. And we were just talking about, she loves it. She's like a sponge with all this sort of stuff. It's so beautiful. And there was one that was talking about prayer. And it just suggested that she have a prayer time at the same time every day. And whether it's first thing when she gets up, or whether it's in the afternoon, or whether it's at night. And we just spoke about that. What do you think is best? And she did this simple thing. And she just said, well, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock's probably a good time. And so she set it 4 o'clock in the PM, not the morning. And so she set a time on her watch. And she goes, 4 o'clock. Okay. And so alarm went off. And this was a few days later. And we were sitting at home. And I was sitting there with her and with Roman as well. And we were just sitting at home. And we were just doing something else. And her alarm went off. And she goes, oh, it's prayer time. I was like, well, like, you want to do it here? And she's like, yeah. And so we just sat there, Olive and myself and Roman. And we held hands. And she just prayed. And she just gave thanks. And it was as simple as that, to see the outworking of the new creation, to see the outworking of the new habit patterns that lead towards that new life experience that we have in Christ with a simple buzz, let's pray. And so for you, it might be that there are some simple habit patterns that you simply need to put in place when it comes to prayer, when it comes to your reading of the Word of God, when it comes to moments of worship. If it's too overwhelming for you, just start with 15 minutes. Do 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of worship, 5 minutes of word. And just see the way that, you know, Aaron, I remember Aaron's message from last year. He spoke about getting a thirst for the word. And a thirst for the word doesn't begin with getting up and going, all right, from 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock, I'm going to read. It doesn't start with that. It may lead towards that, but it just starts with something. And maybe every year you say, I'm going to do better at that. His mercy is new for you today. His mercy is new for you tomorrow. What's in the past is in the past. You are now a new creation. On that, number three, new mercies. What is it that you can change when it comes to this area in your life? I think starting with waking up, acknowledging the gift of forgiveness to us, freshness each day, is a way of leading us to know that that bread is sufficient for us this day, that mercy is sufficient for us this day. And lastly, new strength. Develop a habit pattern of taking weariness to the Lord. He is our strength and He is our refuge. Let's pray. Mighty God, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed a God of the new. And because of that, as we enter into this year, this new year of 2023, there is hope because of the new that is in you. Father, I thank you in advance for the people that we know in our communities that don't have a relationship with you. Father, I thank you for that new relationship that is going to start this year in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for the freedom that people in this church are going to experience this year, perhaps for the first time, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for the new habit patterns that are going to be created that are going to stick this year, that are going to draw people near to your heart in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we are indeed a new creation. We thank you that the old has passed away, that the new has come, and that life with you does not even end when our life here on earth does. But Lord God, it is just a change in circumstance. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your faithfulness in bringing to the surface those things that need to change. And I just pray right now. And if you want, maybe you need an answer from the Lord. Maybe you've been asking a question or you want to hear from him right now. Just where you are in your seats. Just respond to him as I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would give people ears to hear what you have to say to them so clearly right now, in what it is that there might need to be that changes, that brings glory to your name.